In this edition of Daily Grace, I want to talk with you about some of the events that occurred at the day of the resurrection, at the tomb, in fact. But I want to do this to remind you that we have glorious good news that we possess as those who are in Christ. Now, this is very important to us right now because we are in a global health crisis that's presenting a lot of bad news on the media, and certainly presenting a lot of bad news to people on their individual lives, both in their health and in their economics. And so there's a tremendous need for you and I to be very clear about the glorious good news, the grander narrative, the greater reality. Not so we can be insensitive to those who are suffering, not so that we can deny the reality that's going on around us, but so that we can have the strength and we can have the message to carry to those who are suffering now and do so with hope, a hope that an unbeliever simply does not possess in this time of crises. So I want to speak specifically to one aspect of the events that occurred in the garden area with Mary Magdalene and her running to the disciples and telling them that Jesus had risen from the dead. And to do that, we'll do in John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried away him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." End quote. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. End quote. What had Jesus said to her in the garden that morning? He had spoken her name. She did not recognize him until he had spoken her name. This is a point of familiarity. This is a beautiful point, beautiful expression of our Lord's intimacy that he has with you and I. He knows you by name. He says that he has his sheep in John chapter 10. He says the good shepherd knows his sheep, and they know him, and he calls them by name. The Lord knows you. He knows your circumstances. He knows your situation. He knows the weeping. He knows the fears. He knows everything that's going on with you. And he calls you by name. He doesn't address you in a general sense. He knows you. And when Mary heard his voice, she no doubt had heard him say her name many times in the past. So when she heard his voice, Mary, in that particular unique tone, that belonged only to her, it was then that she recognized him. It was then that she recognized him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is better translated, "my teacher, my teacher." She claimed him. He was her teacher. If whatever she was to understand about what was happening around her, he would define for her. She wasn't at the tomb figuring it out. She wasn't drawing out charts, trying to figure out what might have happened to his body. He was her teacher, and whatever he said had happened, she would believe. And what did he say to her? He said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." This is evidence that Jesus was raised with a physical body. He didn't want her to touch him. He didn't want her to cling to him at this point. She could have touched him. He did have a physical body. We discover that later when Thomas puts his hands in the wounds and into the wounds of our Lord's side and into his hands, and discovers that Jesus is not a ghost. He's not something, a figment of someone's imagination. He is there physically, albeit in a glorified body. But then he says this, "Go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Why that phraseology? Why that particular emphasis on, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God"? What I want to convey to you this morning is that with the resurrection of our Lord, his human nature, the resurrection is the first step in our Lord's exaltation of his human nature, the glorification of his human nature. Not only did he rise with a physical body, but his human nature was also being exalted. It was the first step. The resurrection was the first step to his human nature being exalted to glory as the servant who had suffered on behalf of God's purposes. Now, and on behalf of God's people as well. So, what we're hearing here is that although the disciples had abandoned him, although they had fled, and Peter had betrayed him, who had not betrayed him, had denied him three times. Judas had betrayed him. Peter had denied him three times. Yet, we have this glorious reflection of the unconditional nature of the atonement. And that is that he now refers to them as his brethren, and he tells them that what he has purchased for them by shedding his blood and now by his resurrection is a status with the Father where he is their brother. "But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." We see something of this being played out in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, where we read, "For it was fitting for him, for whom all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." That's Jesus. And referring to you and I. "For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying," quote, "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again, "Here am I and the children whom God has given me." Jesus became partakers in our human nature, so that we might become partakers in his divine nature, and that we are not just associates. We are not merely servants, though we certainly are. We are his brethren. We have been brought into a familial relationship that he has with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We have a relationship with our Lord that is a family relationship. We are his siblings, if you will. Now, how do you know that you are his brother or sister? How do you know if you are in Christ? How do you know that? What does that look like to be the Lord's brother or sister? As I've just said, his resurrection guarantees this is true for you. His resurrection guarantees that if you are in Christ, you have been subject to death in the past, but now have been granted life. Life in Him that brings you into a relationship with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit that is a familial relationship. How do we know? What does that look like? Well, in Luke chapter 8, Jesus answers that question. There's a situation where his mother and his brothers have come to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." Now, these were his natural mother, obviously Mary, and his brothers, her children that she had after Jesus was born. Verse 21, "But he answered and said to them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" Now, don't get too hung up on the fact that he didn't say sisters. It includes you, my dear sisters. Jesus' mother, brother, sisters, family are those who hear the word of God and do it. So the resurrection purchased our status with the Father so that Jesus can say to you, "He is my Father and your Father. He is my God and your God." What Jesus purchased at the cross was forgiveness. What will happen at the resurrection was justification, so that we now have new status with God as the children of God, joint heirs with Jesus. And we know we are his brothers. We know we are his brothers and sisters because we share his heart in doing the will of God. We share his passion and his love for the Father by seeking to know and to do his will. Amen.